we're going to continue on in John. John 4, 27 to 45. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled at what he was talking, that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek, or why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. And may God add his blessing to the hearing of this portion of his word. Let's pray. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would shine the light in the places on our life that are in darkness, that you would apply this to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing on the story at the woman at the well that we looked into last week. And just one final mention about the culture, that when we read a story about a Middle Easterner, and that we have to see it from their eyes, that we can't just take our 20th century Western culture and apply it back on the story. When we do, we add a bunch of stuff and we miss a bunch of stuff. So here the tail end, just as his disciples came back, they marveled that he was talking with a woman. That is something that would not have been done in that culture. They could have been kicked out of the synagogue for speaking with a woman in a public place. So they came back and they marveled that Jesus was speaking with a woman in a public place. Everything in that part of the world, the men talk with men, the women talk with the women, and even when they have social gatherings in their house, one's on one floor, one's on the other, and the two hardly ever meet. So they were marveled, but no one said, "What do you seek, or why are you talking with them?" Nobody wanted to raise that issue with their teacher. They left it alone. They could see that what he was doing didn't fit the culture, but they weren't going to call him on it. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all I ever did. can this be the Christ? The phrase, she left her water jar, tells you this is a first-hand account. How would anybody have known the relationship of something in this picture if they weren't there watching it? She left the water jar and went into town. Now, you recall from last week, women getting the water, that was their job. That was what was assigned by their culture. But when she, after talking to Jesus, she left the water jar there and headed straight to town because she had some new news to tell him. Can this be the Christ? And Jesus uses a couple of physical examples to teach spiritual truth. The first one, something is happening right in front of all of his disciples when they come back and they miss it. They're oblivious. They don't even realize what's happening. They distract him and say, "Have you eaten yet? Do you have any food?" And they're focusing in on the food while Jesus had just spoke to somebody and she's departed telling the whole world that he's Jesus. So he answers and he said to them, "I have food that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work." Now, in the original language, the first food and the second food are different forms of the word. One's a participle and the other one's a noun. So we do that in our language. I have food, or I have eating that you don't know about. And so Jesus, his eating is different than other people's eating. In the physical world and in the spiritual realm, there are some things that track opposite of each other. In the spiritual realm, the way to get is to give. Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you, shaken down, pressed together, and flowing over." If we want to receive, we've got to be a giver. That the giving starts first and then the receiving. And it works just the opposite of the way we think it ought to work in our experience. And then the second thing in the spiritual realm that works the opposite is, in order to really live, you've got to die to self. You've got to give up your rights to yourself. If you really want to experience life to its fullness, you've got to relinquish your rights to your life. You've got to give it up. You've got to die to self. And then Jesus pours in his life that is way more than you could experience on your own. And then we see that the way to elevate yourself is to become a servant. He who would be above all would be the servant of all. So if somebody wants to be high, we don't crawl over other people. We serve them. And the way God does the elevating, he takes us and puts us, the more we serve, the higher we go. And that's just the opposite of the way we think it is. But here we come to feeding. We think that eating, if we take eating, that we eat, first we eat it and then we wear it. That's the way it works with us. That we eat to do certain things. Eating has a purpose. My mother grew up on a farm in southern Minnesota. Now, I know if you want to, I found out in the Mid-South you have to clarify which meal dinner is. Dinner for some is the noon meal, and dinner for others is the evening meal, And it's not a north-south thing. It's all over the country. But I think I have an understanding of where that came from. My mom grew up in a farm in Minnesota, and they had four meals. They had breakfast at 8, lunch at noon, dinner at 4, and supper at 8. And you think, man, they must have been immense. No, they worked hard. They needed every last calorie. They had to do 4 meals. 3 wasn't enough. Here, in our culture, with our typical activity pattern, 1 meal is often enough. And the spiritual parallel is true as well. We like to feed ourselves on sermons. We feed ourselves at Bible studies. But we don't do the corresponding work output in ministry that goes along with it. And we wonder why we feel like we're not fulfilled. The reason we do the eating is to do the service in the ministry. We need to learn about him so that we can share him with others. We need to do ministry to others. And Jesus said his food is to do what he had come to do. Now, it works the same way with him. When he feeds on his food, which is the reason he came, it brings us along, and then we come to be part of his body. So when he does his food, we become what joins up to his body. And that's the way it works in the spiritual dimension. First, he thrives on his food, and then we become part of him. And what they are, then he talks about the harvest. And you wonder, why does he talk about harvest when he's just talked about food? Well, because the harvest was going right on in the background while they were ignoring it. He had talked to the lady, and she was already out in town sharing Christ with her friends and neighbors and relatives. And she was already stirring it up, and people were already starting to come back. Spiritual, when we think about the harvest, he was using something they were aware of, the wheat. He says, you think 4 months and then comes the harvest. You plant the wheat and it takes a while to grow. This was Passover time, which is in the spring. And harvest time was a few months later. But he's saying, I tell you already, the fields are white unto harvest. He was talking about people. And while he was telling them this, somebody that had just become a brand new believer. He talked in John 3 about the new birth. Well, we see right here in this chapter somebody that experienced the new birth right in front of everybody, and they weren't paying attention. He said, how do we know she experienced the new birth? She showed signs of it. The first thing is she talked about it. She talked, can this be the Christ? Is this the one we are to look for? She opened her mouth. And then, secondly, she went to her friends to talk about it. She was sharing it with her friends. And third, she had a love for her friends and neighbors and relatives. God had already done a work in her heart. She confessed with her mouth, then her priorities. She left the jar and went to town, because she had more pressing issues at the time, now that she understood who Christ was. And then we see that had an effect on them, because first they heard from her mouth who Jesus was. But then when they came back in and saw Christ, their experience went from secondhand hearing to firsthand experiencing. That's what the gospel is all about. Not knowing about the gospel, but experiencing Christ. Experiencing him for real in our lives, not just knowing who he is, and that some other people have benefited from him. But until it's firsthand, till you know him, it hasn't taken root. She told her friends what she'd seen, and many more believed because of his word. They said to her, to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Now he talks about the wages of the gospel. He says some people work and some people reap. He is talking about her. She has just reaped. She went off to her friends, and she, in a short span of time, she's already led her friends to Christ. She has told what was in her and how he made a difference, and she is already leading her friends. And Jesus said to them that she had received a wage, some sow and some reap. For here's the saying, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Think of all the people down through the ages that were a piece of her coming to Christ. When she went down to get water, she was just doing her job. Her job in the household was to be the water faucet. She was to go get the water for the family. And she had no intention of being spiritually born anew until she met Jesus. But once that happened, she went out and she shared it with others. One of the signs of life of the new birth are just like the signs of life for an infant. When infants are born, they want to be clean. You leave their diaper go too long and you'll find out about it. There's a desire to be clean. And then the second thing is they want to be around others that are like them. You can literally kill a child by divorcing them from human contact. Just leave them in a sterile environment, and it will have a terrible effect on them. There's a desire to be clean, a desire to be around others, and a desire. A desire to tell others that is, you have a concern for others. And she meets all of the criteria. It's interesting, this week is St. Patrick's Day. Now, we don't normally, as Scottish Presbyterians, make a big deal out of that, but a lot of our ancestors spent some time in Ireland. And we can be thankful to him. And many people think he's a Roman Catholic because of, you know, St. Patrick's Day is a big holiday. But several different denominations point to him because he wasn't any of those. He was the one who evangelized Ireland in the 400s. And we don't know much about him, but we know about the effect, is there was a tremendous outbreak of Christianity in Ireland, and they all point to him. We don't know what he did, but that's why his name is famous. And some of the ancestors spent some time in Ireland, and because St. Patrick was there, because Patrick, he was actually a Roman British convert to Christianity, and the name he went by one name, Patricius. That was it. Some people call him St. Patrick. The Greek Orthodox Church. He is one of their famous people. The Roman Catholic Church venerates him. The Lutheran Church, the Anglican Church. There are many different denominations that point back, because in 400 AD, there was only one church. And he was responsible for extending the gospel to Ireland. What about in our time? We still have a responsibility. We still have a need to share Christ. The fields are already white under harvest. And not everybody here. There are some people that God leads to pack up and move and live in another culture and learn their language and translate the Bible into their language and take it to somebody that doesn't have access to Christianity. But with the world being stirred up the way it is, God is bringing a lot of those people over here, and we walk among them. So if I had one word for you today, is how we can be a part of it. It's just be intentional. Ask God, is there anybody out there he wants you to talk to? When we look at the content of the woman at the well, here was her message. Jesus told me all about my life. That was it. That was enough. Witnessing means that you are giving testimony to something you have experienced. So that's what we're responsible for, just sharing with others what God has done in our life. If you want to get more precise than that and add anything else, learning verses from Scripture, but the thing that we are accountable to is to give an account for the hope that is in us. And one of the first things that's required if you want to be a witness is ask him for an opportunity. And I have found that he will provide it in amazing ways. You will be standing behind somebody at McDonald's. You will be having somebody that just gets lost in your neighborhood. There's all kinds of ways. God is still in the business of creating opportunities for people to hear about Christ. May we pray. Lord Jesus, you are the great I am. It doesn't take 4 months for the harvest to come in. It can happen in an instant. With this woman that we read about today, she went from somebody who embraced you as their own to somebody who was sharing Christ in a very short period of time. Many of us have taken far longer. Lord, I pray that we would be concerned about the things that concern you, that we would have a desire, that our heart desires and our vision would match your vision, that we would be concerned about the people you are, and we would be motivated to extend your kingdom on this earth. May we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.